Welcome to our Sunday message for Sunday the 9th of March 2025. We are continuing our study of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we are busy with the first fruit, which is love. Let's just look at that in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We notice that the first fruit that is mentioned is love, and there's a very good reason for this, as we have been explaining. It is the central fruit from which all the other fruit derive, as it were, relevance or significance. So we are going to spend a bit more time on love, the most important, and take it from there. Let's just also look at 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4. We have read this before, but let's just read it again. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your precious word. We know that it has the answers to our life's problems, and it can help us be fruitful in this life. We pray that this teaching will help every one of us to be better equipped for this purpose of extending your kingdom on this earth. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. What we mentioned last time is that when we speak about love in this context, we are speaking about a particular kind of love. As we mentioned, the world has used the word love to cover a multitude of emotions, I suppose. The Greek language distinguishes between various types of love, but this love in particular is agape. That's the Greek word that is used. And as we mentioned last time, perhaps the best way to define that love or describe it is to call it the God kind of love. It's very different from other emotions. And unfortunately, in our society, and I don't think it's just our society, but human beings tend to operate from how they feel before they discuss anything else in a way. And you see, when we speak about love generally, people refer to it as a type of feeling. As we said, people say we fell in love and then we fell out of love. In other words, we had certain feelings for one another at one stage, but we don't have those feelings anymore. Now, the point we're trying to make is that the God kind of love transcends simple emotional reaction, as it were. Not that feelings aren't important, as we are going to describe. But we made the point that the God kind of love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. There's a choice involved. Now, when we look at this description of love in Corinthians, as I mentioned again, we notice that love takes certain actions. On some occasions, those actions are choices not to react, as it were. But if we look at them closely, we'll see something. A common thread is that very often what love doesn't do is what we as human beings would naturally do. Let's call it our natural reaction. For example, let's look at it. Love suffers long and is kind. Well, we're going to look at this whole idea of long suffering, and it's not what you might think. But let's just put it this way. Long suffering puts up with a lot. We bear with somebody's behavior or certain circumstances. Now you see, you and I might be forced to bear with certain situations because we are employed, we depend on people for our finances, or we're in a relationship, etc., etc. So we feel we have to. But you see, love doesn't just put up with it and, as it were, murmur under its breath. Love is kind. It chooses to react in a way that we as human beings wouldn't normally react. And this is the heart of it. You see, love does not seek its own. Well, You and I, as human beings, normally, without any restraint, always seek our own. Generally speaking, for example, we go into a gathering of people and our mentality is, well, who should I speak to that can help me? Or how can I position myself in this crowd to get the best for myself? You see, love does not rejoice in iniquity. Why is it that the news media always features bad news? If there's a massive pileup, a bus crashed recently, it's in the news. Why doesn't the news report that millions of people got to work safely every month? Why? Because somehow you and I as human beings are fascinated by bad news. But you see, love operates differently. It doesn't rejoice in bad things. It actually rejoices in good things, in the truth. Can you see that? Love believes all things. We're running through a lot of these here just briefly, but the general idea is that what love does is, generally speaking, contrary to our human nature. You see, it's our human nature to be pessimistic very often. Very often people are skeptical about things. Talk to them about miracles, and very often people are skeptical. They say, well, there must be some reason why. They can't just say, oh, well, God did it, you see. Love does not envy. Well, human nature is, because of our sinful nature, wired to be envious. We see somebody has something and we want it, in the natural. Very often a person makes a great success of himself and everybody's got so much bad to say about him. Envious, you see. Envy. Love is not provoked. What is that? Love doesn't just lose its rag at the drop of a hat. All of these things are aspects of love. Love does not get provoked. Now you see, the point is this. That doesn't mean that we, because we have love in our hearts, are never put in a situation where we can be provoked. We've got to grasp the mechanics of this. You see, our human nature is all too easily offended. Just driving on the highway. The moment somebody dares to just drive in front of us, maybe a bit faster than they should, how do we react? You've all heard about road rage. It's terrible. People shoot each other on some occasions. Why? Get provoked so easily. You see, our human nature is geared, wired, as it were, to react in certain ways. And without Christ, generally speaking, you and I are placed in any situation, this natural reaction that is in us will emerge. But you see, the love of God operates differently. And this is where you and I are faced with a challenge. We started at the beginning of this teaching explaining that God has called us to change. The moment we are born again, a new spirit has been grafted in us. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, as we've said before, whether we feel anything or not, all those fruits, all these nine fruits that we've spoken about, and the gifts, by the way, become part of us. They are there. Now, because they are there, does not mean that you and I suddenly behave in a completely different way. That can happen, and it has happened. But as I've said, it's not the norm. We have to make this choice on a daily basis. And you see, this is the process. You and I have the Word of God in front of us. We know what we should do. We know what love would do. Or rather, we learn what love is supposed to do. However, when the test comes our way, and we are challenged in all these areas, the big question is, well, now how are we going to react? Can you see? And when we say that love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. If we respond according to our feelings, what will we do? We will envy. We will get angry. We will give up. We will doubt. We will think of terrible things. We won't put up with things. And we won't have hope. You see, all these things are our natural human nature. However, when confronted, the choice is, what should we do? And if we understand that the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we realize that no matter how hard it is, God has made it possible for us to react the way love will react. Now, this is a process. And how it works is this. We learn these things, and then inevitably the test comes. We're confronted with a situation, and the choice is now ours. Do we go the way our flesh wants to go? Blow up, get angry, throw our toys out of the cot, swear, curse, behave like immature children? Do we do that? Or do we decide, no, I'm not going to behave like that. I'm not going to be provoked. I refuse to be provoked. Now, if we understand that the love of God is inside of us, we realize that it is possible. God will never ask us to do something that we cannot do. That doesn't mean that what he asks us to do will not be difficult for us to do. But the truth is, if we understand it correctly, it can be done. His nature inside of us is able to not be provoked. Now, as you and I take on this challenge, you see, we spoke about choosing to become vessels of gold rather than just ordinary vessels. If you and I want to remain ordinary vessels, as it were, well, throw our toys out the cot and go around the mountain once again and wait for the test yet again. But you see, if we continually fail, in a sense, the Holy Spirit withdraws and leaves us at that level. The challenge is not to be satisfied with that, to understand there's something better because God wants to use us for something greater. And you see, as you and I learn, what should I do in this situation? Do I have to prove myself? Do I have to justify myself? See, love says you don't have to. You can bear all things patiently. Not as a doormat, we'll talk about this in more detail, but you see, you and I don't have to, in every situation, prove our point, behave rudely, focus on what's negative about others. You see, every time one of these opportunities comes our way, and we make a choice, something very fundamental begins to happen. You see, as you and I consistently, and this is the key, consistently make the right choices, it becomes easier in a way. It becomes more our natural reaction. We are changed. And here's the beautiful part about it. As you and I consistently work this salvation in our lives, not only does our nature change, but we change. We become conformed to his image. Remember, we spoke about Christ being formed in us. When you and I consistently make the right choices, that is actually what is happening. Now, this might sound all very technical and, in a sense, hard. Simple stoic discipline. And yes, to a certain extent it is. It starts out that way. But here's the mystery. We said at the beginning that love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. But there's another side to the story. As you and I use our will correctly, we choose the right path consistently, even though to start off with, that might be the last thing we feel like doing. Here's what God does. The Holy Spirit and his love flowing through us. Our feelings actually change. And what happens is Whereas we may have started out just by gritting our teeth and making the right choices. Such is the nature of God, that ultimately our nature changes, and those choices are not hard to make. They become natural. And as far as love is concerned, although it's not a feeling, the feelings begin to emerge. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I can explain this until the cows come home, but I think the best way to try and communicate it is by virtue of an example. God, in His grace, taught me this great lesson very early in my Christian walk. I was at university, a student there, and I got saved. Wonderful experience. But God started a great work in my life. At that time, I had friends that were house parents, they called them, of what I suppose you and I would call an orphanage. Basically, it was a facility for children who came from disturbed homes. And their job was to, as it were, be parents to these children until their lives got established elsewhere. They were good friends of mine, and they're wonderful examples. Very blessed to have such good examples of the Christian faith as my early friends. But God laid it on my heart to do something for them. Obviously, as a young couple, they would have cherished being on their own instead of having anything between 7 to 12 children around them. And I offered to take those children out on Sunday afternoons. I was blessed with a vehicle, and I thought this would be something I could do as a young Christian. They were very happy for me to do that. And so it was that on Sunday afternoons, I'd pitch up in my little car and pick up these children, and off we'd go. Being in Cape Town, there's lots to do there. There's, as we know, the sea, the mountains, the rivers, parks, etc. So there was lots to be done. And I enjoyed it for the most part. However, what happened was these children were by and large very cute, as children normally are. However, there was one young boy. His name was Vincent. And Vincent was one of these very, how shall I say, demanding characters. He was always otherwise. When myself and all the kids were going down the beach one way, he wanted to go the other way. For example, we wanted to go down the mountain, he wanted to go up the mountain. And he made life very, very challenging for me. To the extent, and I have to be honest, there were occasions where I secretly, obviously, hoped that he wouldn't be in the team, as it were. Strangely enough, if everybody else was away, he was the only one that wasn't. So it was something I had to live with. Now, this went on for a few weeks, but I remember so clearly the one evening when I was in my lodgings. And although I was very ignorant of these things at the time, looking back now, I realize it was the Holy Spirit. But I got the sense that my treatment of these children wasn't right. It wasn't right to be fond of all the other ones except one. God is on my case, and I'm so glad He was. Anyway, in my simple way, remember, I was very young in this whole business, I made a decision. I just said to the Lord that I'll do my best to regard Him, not just treat Him, but regard Him just like all the others, as best I could, no matter what. Well, and this is the mystery, and I can't explain it. I'm not even going to try. But what happened is, over a period of time, something just changed. He calmed down. Instead of being a problem, he became, in a sense, the heart and soul of the party. Highly intelligent young man, actually. I also learned from my friends that he'd grown up with his brother in his formative years, living out of a dustbin. When you find out things like this, it does change your attitude. But the truth is that I changed. And because I changed, he changed. Or so I thought. And the relationship grew, and I became very fond, not only of him, but of course other children. And the day came when I had to leave Cape Town to go elsewhere, up north. And I'll never forget going to the house where they lived to say goodbye, as it were, as I was going out to my car. Vincent came to the stairway and he said to me, "Uncle Graham, I want to give you something." And he took out of his pocket a little porcelain doll. Now, it wasn't worth much then, and it's probably worth very little now. But you understand, to a destitute child, a small novelty like that is something very precious. But he held it out and he said, "I want you to have this. I want you to have this." I've still got it to this day. The head's broken off. One of the feet is broken off as well. Really not a very good toy, as it were. But it means such a lot to me. Why? I learned this valuable lesson. A lesson that has stood me in good stead for the last 40 plus years in my Christian walk. This fundamental understanding that the things of God are based on what the Word says, the truth. But not just that. They're based on making a decision. I made a choice, you see. And because I made that choice, the Holy Spirit was able to work this wonderful mystery in my heart. Brothers and sisters, serving God, as we all know, is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. One of the biggest challenges you and I will face is in the area of relationships of one sort or another. We have to realize that the cornerstone of our belief system is this understanding of God's love for us and His demand that we love not only one another, but all those that come our way. And you see, as we all know, not everybody that comes our way will necessarily warm our heart. But you see, the love of God is a much bigger thing than that. And as you and I grow, and that's the key to this thing, we grow into it. We understand the challenge, put it into practice in every single one of these areas known as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And gradually, what happens? In a very real way, Christ is formed in us. We become more like Him. We don't just act like Him. We become Him. That Word which is in our hearts becomes flesh. I trust that you and I will have the courage to walk in this path. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.